Greetings to you, my loves. It is I, Dee Trussell, and you are listening to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. And with us here today is one of my best friends on earth, Ari Shaffir. He's got a new special out right now on YouTube. It's called Jew, and it is a masterpiece, a work of art. If you know anything about Ari, you probably know that he has done horrible things online, terrible levels of obscene trolling that have earned him death threats, rejection, and absolute confusion by many of his friends who worry, my God, has he gone insane? Why in the name of God would you stick a stick into the ant's nest of society when you know for sure that you are going to get swarmed, stung, bitten, attacked, canceled, double canceled, triple canceled, banished, and reviled? The answer you will find in our conversation. We talk about the art of trolling, the motivation behind trolling, and Ari's method of trolling. Trolling is a lost art, but it truly is an art form. And we're going to cover it all here with the Lord of Trolls himself, Ari Shaffir. We're going to jump right into that, but first, this. All right, sweeties, let's dive into this episode. With us here today is someone that I came up in comedy with. We both worked on the phones at the world famous Comedy Store and have been friends for years. I hope that you will check out his incredible special. It's on YouTube. It's free. It's called Jew. All the links you need to find it, all the links you need to find Ari, will be at DuncanTrussell.com. And now, everybody, please welcome back to the DTFH, Ari Shaffir. Hey, Ari, welcome to the DTFH. This is actually
Duncan Trussell Family Hour.
Yeah, that's how you pronounce it. Everyone pronounces it wrong, though.
Yeah, it's weird. I've been seeing them do that for years now.
It's fucked up, and I talk about it a lot. I've said it a lot.
And they still don't get it.
They don't get it, man. They just don't give a fuck. Ari?
Yeah.
What the fuck's going on with you? What are you doing in Austin? You're on some kind of weird podcast tour. You got to go to the airport in 20 fucking minutes. I'm the last on your slate of podcasts.
No, you said you couldn't do the morning. You were first. You couldn't do the morning.
I could have done the morning because they canceled that thing. Well, anyway, so you're doing a comedy special?
Yeah, it's out right now.
What's it called?
Jew. It's my opus to my childhood.
What do you mean?
It's the best thing I've ever done, Duncan.
It is, really?
Yeah.
Now, where'd you shoot it?
The home of the Jews.
You shot it in Israel?
That's not the home anymore.
What is it, New York?
Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, Brooklyn. Yeah. I was going to say, Roger Waters would be fucking pissed.
Oh, my God. How fun was that?
Now, that was one of the most surreal moments of my life.
Surreal.
Watching you on acid.
Yeah.
Getting chastised by Roger Waters because you said that you thought he should not boycott Israel.
Yeah. It wasn't even not boycott Israel. It was like, dude, your show is so, it made me think like the Palestinian conflict is the same as the conflict in Yemen and Guatemala and all these places. And I was like, man, if we took that to Israel, in my head, I'm thinking like, you know, to show these some like people are thinking about peace a little bit, the young, you know, army people, they're already thinking about it. He goes into like three or four different groups that have been like downtrodden, you know? And then when he gets to your group that you have like a say in, then suddenly like, oh, it's the same thing. You can't pick a side. It's
right.
Like, so then it's like that message there would really do something. And nah, he wasn't having
it. He was not into it. But also, I think it's important to note that this some people,
yeah,
when they're going off on you,
yeah,
it's legitimate anger. Like, it's anger. Like their inside is poison. They hate you. Coming out of him, it was not that. Or we wouldn't have enjoyed it.
It was passion for his cause.
That's what it was. And it was also pure delight that at the end of the night,
someone gave him the chance to really go off.
It was like watching the way tigers look when like
they release a donkey into their pocket.
Exactly that. It was
oh my
gosh. I mean, he just had the best show of all time. And then suddenly, here is Ari Shaffir, eyes dilated.
Yeah.
Dilated eyes. We've all been like, just like, all of us, just like, awestruck by being around him. He's so fucking brilliant. So
and every time you want to join in, you're like, actually, this guy's been a legend for fucking almost half a century. Like,
exactly.
It's not a conversation. Like, sit back. Don't. Especially as interviewers, you want to like get a conversation, but it's like just let him talk.
Let him talk.
Try to stay awake and let him talk.
Let him talk. And then there it was at the end of the fucking night.
Right at the end of the night.
Wow.
Can't leave a conversation.
And all the comics, like we were like. Everybody's so delighted because of all of us to get into that kind of conversation with. You were the best one because you weren't going to like back. You would not back down because that was what was really cool. You kept challenging him about it. I thought it was fucking awesome.
It was pretty fun. It's like BDS stuff I've kind of heard about. I know it's his like big cause. I'm sure they have a good point and stuff. I don't know how many of that side says this is what you have to do versus just it's a cause. I really don't know.
Yeah.
I was always go to Israel. I studied there in seminary, you know, and stuff. So it was like a lot of times you get a cause. You're just like, you have like a 2% knowledge of it. And you're like this. I'm like, no. You're like, oh, okay.
Right.
You're like, and so you start arguing, but you don't know. It's actually what he said. He goes, learn everything about a subject and then let your conscience take over.
Right.
You know, conscience. I don't really know everything about that subject. I was just like, I visit my safta.
Yeah, you know? You don't know anything about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict?
I know somewhat that it's so much deeper than anyone goes. It's definitely this. It's definitely that. I'm like, no.
It's kind of, it would be nice.
One's to blame. No, it's not.
It's cool, though, to like, it would be nice if you could just be like, I really don't know. That means that I can't take a firm side except one based on me wanting you to like me.
Right.
Which isn't even going to be the truth anyway.
That'd be a good angle to take.
That is the angle. For most people, it's like,
I'll say you're right because I want you to like me.
I want you to like me so bad that I'm going to tell you that I'm on whatever side you're on. But then that's all you're going to get in that situation is bullshit.
Like, right, you're not getting a real thing.
Yeah.
You're not like, what do you think about this? No, I think that's wrong, but okay. Yeah, you never get that.
You never get that.
It's so funny. I talk about the people I know where it's like COVID was very divisive.
Really? I never heard that. What do you mean?
Maybe it's just New York. I don't know.
Did you hear there were like opposing opinions about it and stuff?
I heard they were. I never saw any, but I heard they were opposing
opinions. I never saw anyone having a problem with it.
But like in casual conversation, how little conflict I want, I'll just agree with whatever side you have. We're at a party.
Right.
And I don't care. So you're like, can you believe they're making you do this? Like, I know. Can you believe they're not doing this? Yeah, I know, right?
Well, yeah.
It's just like, sure.
But that's the best way to deal with
that.
Have
you had this beer before? Like, let's get back to that.
It's like, you know, like those terrible videos, like somebody working at a fast food restaurant, getting paid like minimum wage, should not be looking at the manual they give you because it's like, you're not giving me enough money to study.
To actually study? Like, Diaz, like, I'm not doing rehearsal.
I'm not doing this. I'm going to come in and I'm going to like look at whatever the other people do. I'm going to do it. But then the grease fire starts. And they didn't look at the manual.
Hey, I don't know, dude. That's water puts out a fire.
And then it's like, whoa, holy shit. They're astounded. It makes no sense. It's like they didn't know that happens when you, but this is the identical thing that happens when you engage with somebody's aggression, isn't it? It's the identical thing. It's like the moment you just don't react.
It's not, that's the best thing. Don't react.
There's no, they don't have the, there's no juice to run on anymore.
And to go like, can I just play devil's advocate? It's like, don't. Why? You're actually not talking to them.
Yeah,
don't play devil's advocate.
Don't play devil's advocate. Don't play the advocate.
I do love it though. I love poking. You love poking too.
Yeah, but you love poking in like, you like, I think my level of trolling in my old age has diminished somewhat.
Yeah.
Whereas you,
I think it's
you're
a golden
like
age.
You're like the ISIS of trolling.
I think it's a golden age right now. I think we're in a power position we've never been in before. The reach we have. They gave us that. We never had nuclear weaponry. We had an occasional like one-on-one or a message board, you know, with 30 members. And now we can just let the people we troll spread it to others.
Okay, but here's the funny thing. Here's what it is.
What a good time.
You.
Yeah.
You. It's not that you don't want to deal with somebody yelling when they have some opinion about something. It's that you want to be in control. That's why you troll. I mean, you know what I mean? Because it's the...
I want to conduct, yeah.
You're conducting a reaction. But if you're like around somebody who's like passionate about this thing or that, you're just sort of backing out to let it die down a little bit.
Right, in like a regular conversation.
You don't troll in the regular conversation.
I didn't want to be part of that.
You don't want...
And then you get drawn in. Every time I've ever gotten to a fight, I don't like... It's like, ugh, I barely know about this enough. I'm talking about what I don't know.
Right.
And so then you talk about little things. We're like, you know, you got to visit your family. And he's like, what does that mean? I'm like... And then it's like, you know what family is, dude. Come on.
But it's fascinating, though, that you...
Yeah.
Will...
But then it's like, I should be like, ah.
But you'll go online.
Yeah.
And you will say some...
Horrible.
The worst thing I've
things
ever...
Things I don't believe in at all.
Things that offend me.
Offend me when I say it. It's like, this is disgusting.
And without question,
yeah,
you know when you're doing it,
yeah,
you will become like a temporary national pariah. Everyone, so yeah, angry. Everyone wants wanting to kill you.
Kill me.
Wanting like...
Online.
Online. All your friends will get worried about you.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that.
So what now?
They've stepped it up where they involve other people now. They don't just come after me.
Let's go into it.
Yeah.
If you describe to me
the
feeling that you're having day two after completely upsetting some fandom, some group of people.
Day two, it's cloud nine. Day two is still great. I haven't lost anything yet.
You're getting off on it.
I love it.
Look, what's the feeling like?
Look how angry you guys all are for some person you don't know, or
that's not a feeling. Describe the feeling.
Oh, right.
If you had, if you can.
Success, ownership over things like that. You've just like dominated a thing. Like you set your mind to stuff, and then you see a perfect example, like a perfect in, and you fucking take it.
You know what this is like, man? It's like interviews with Jeffrey fucking Dahmer.
Yeah.
He's like,
legend.
he says the same shit. You know?
Yeah, you didn't expect a guy to knock on your door and said, hey, do you have to rush? And Jeffrey Dahmer's like, oh, come on
in.
Oh,
my God.
I already have a bunch of saws in my house.
It's like when you find like drugs at a music festival.
Yeah, you see a baggie and you're like, oh, my God, put yourself in a position. There's an old golfer, I forget who it was, talked about it. He said he got really lucky. He hit a golf shot out of the sand. And you're like, man, you got really lucky. And he goes, yeah, the more I practice, the more people say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Harder I practice, the more people say
that. So you're saying you practice trolling.
Yeah. Well, in this case, I've been hating the Lakers for so long. I've been shitting on dead people for so long. And they're in there when they're the most revered. When I think, like, this is godlike. I don't like it.
You feel like you're knocking over idols.
Not what?
Knocking over idols.
Yeah, breaking down idols.
Breaking down idols.
And false idols. I don't think you even believe in it. It's like if you really believe in Jesus or Buddha or, you know, or any of the robe guys you like, or like...
They don't all wear robes.
Yeah. not all heroes wear robes. then it's like, no, sure, you have a belief system. But this is like, you don't have a belief system. You're being a hypocrite. You're just lying about what you actually believe right now. And I want to point that out. I'm gonna hold a mirror.
So you feel like you're doing some kind of public service.
Artistic service.
An art. It's an art. It's an art form. It doesn't. Yeah. And again, I'm sorry for trying to reduce it reason.
No, you don't analyze it. It's okay.
Not like you know exactly what you're doing.
There's that too, right? There's an innate sense of like this feel. Like they said, like we studied Hitchcock in college, and he always like had a, if I remember a little piece of it, they had an upside angle shot of the character. And that would be when the character's going into a place he can't come back from. He's about to get into a point of no return.
Right.
He's entering into a bar, and it's like, that's where he's about to get framed for a murder.
Right.
And so Hitchcock's giving it away. Oh, this guy's, if you know his stuff, this guy's about to. And it was like, is he conscious of that? And the teacher was like, I'm not sure. He might just be using that shot all the time without really thinking what he's doing.
Okay.
Because it felt right.
Day five.
That's trouble.
Describe that.
It's like, oh, no. I still am totally happy with what I've done, but I'm not happy with the feeling of like seeing my friends try to separate themselves from me. Friends that were like fine with me day one, but then when they are seeing the public outrage and suddenly like, oh, I'm sort of seeing the point with no new information.
Right.
Two people to 200,000. You hear the point. Not
like
feeling
you got
great about
friends that are like delivering apology speeches.
Yeah.
Like for being, not for what you did, but for just knowing
me. Dude, I had black friends that were being called coons for having opened for me 2 years earlier.
That's horrible.
Crazy.
That's horrible.
It's crazy. And so then I'm like, sorry to them, but at the same time, like, look what I've exposed in all of you. That you're being racist to some young performer because I've pointed out one of your heroes
but,
is a loser.
But that's really, that you think that, so you,
I've exposed this stuff in you that it, yeah.
You, sure. So you, for you, it's kind of like, look.
Look what you're doing.
I'm, by this rotten thing I'm doing, I'm holding up a mirror.
Yeah, and I don't even have to go to you. It's not like I'm going to someone's funeral or something. I just go to my own feed, and then you'll send this hatred and take it to other people. I did one about Kenny Rogers, right? And I had all these like middle-aged housewives coming after me.
What were they saying?
You're a piece of shit. You're
what
not
did you
funny.
Say, by the way, what the fuck did you do to poor Kenny Rogers?
Poor Kenny Rogers. I agree.
What did you say?
When he died, I said he was so racist that he wouldn't have fried chicken and he only had roasted chicken to keep black out of his establishment.
That's fucked up.
Burning in hell.
That's fucked up. Was he racist?
No. Not at all. I don't think. I have no idea. Probably not.
I assume not. Islands in the stream.
Yeah.
That is what we are.
It was about throwing babies in a sack and fucking throwing them in there.
So is trolling a new thing?
It's not new. It's evolving. It's taking finally in the public eye. You've done it, dude.
Oh, yeah. I've trolled. I mean,
when you got me once when the Amazing Races stuff, these old sketches I did for National Lampoon's, and they got ripped to the internet. So they got their context removed, which is when everybody gets upset almost always. Yeah. Is when context is removed.
Yeah, 100%.
So you take out, this is an easy one to understand, you take out the stamp of the National Lampoon's DVD.
Right.
You take that out and just go, here's what somebody did.
Just a horrible man.
Yeah. Same thing in mind. It's like if you take out, oh, he likes to poke fun at dead people in their times of like, you know, reverence. You take out context. So anyway, people got mad at me when it got online. They're like, what the fuck is this? Thought it was real. And they Googled me, early Google. And the very first thing that came up was artistic terrorism.
Oh, yeah. .com. Someone grabbed that domain from me.
And it goes, hey, everybody, if you want to crank call my friend Ari Shaffir, record it and send me the best ones. Here's his number.
Oh, fuck, I'm sorry.
And dude, I didn't know it was up there. And you didn't have to click on the link. It was just, you could read it right there. 3236566 something. God. You didn't even have to click on the link. No, don't be sorry. Because the calls that would come in at first were troubling. And then were so funny. Like I hired a bunch of Latinos to build a deck and I took them to INS, was the sketch. It was the fake hidden camera.
Yeah.
It was all actors we hired, gave them 50 bucks, drove them back. All my answering machine, I eventually turned my phone off. Turned my phone just so I get answered on silent, because they call all night. Just nonstop calls. And I'll build a deck in your ass, Holmes. The threats. Once I got over that these are not real. They were so joyous at a job well done from a friend of mine. Unintentional. You were trying to get them to crank call me.
I was trying to do something mean to you before that. It just took longer to take effect.
Yeah, the troll got a life of its own on that one.
I mean, like, if you thought about the history of trolling, like, through the ages.
No, the New York Times wrote a nice piece on me.
What did they say?
About how trolling is an art form.
They
did
say that.
Look at it, yeah.
Yeah, see, because I
Borat and different things, Jackass and like Tom Green, it's or newer versions of it.
Jonathan Swift,
Lenny Bruce, Jonathan Swift is a great one.
The essay about eating poor people's mm-hmm. kids.
Yeah,
a modest proposal.
It's like we have overcrowding. There's not enough food to go around. I propose we eat some of the poor. That way there'll be less poor and more food.
Can you imagine if he had a fucking answering machine and his number was out there?
Now that's a literary genius. And I think at the time people took it not real. But if you showed it now, they're like, what the fuck?
People thought it was real. War of the Worlds.
Unintentional trolling. They missed the intro.
Right.
Unintentional trolling. Yeah. They missed the intro, but I'm sure he was like, that's cool. They all thought it was real.
Blair Witch.
Intentional trolling.
Yeah, they left those DVDs all around.
They found something. It was the first one. It was like the ad campaign. It was like, oh, they found these videos.
What are some other versions of trolling that you can think of off the top of your head?
Birds are real.
Birds are not real. Aren't real.
The Illuminati, people say, is a troll.
It's not a troll.
What?
Well, it's based on like a factual organization, the Bavarian Illuminati. It's like there was it's a branch of the Freemasons.
Yeah.
And the Masons have all kinds of weird fucking like signals they send to each other to let them know what's going on.
Hmm.
Like baseball.
Baseball's a troll.
Well, baseball's not a troll. I'm just saying
this. It's never an exciting sport, and everyone just thought it was exciting.
Everybody thinks they're playing baseball. They're really just sending Masonic signals.
What were other trolls? I'm trying to think of old religion. There were lies. You know, like the Romans let Jesus go because like we can help control them. So go. We don't.
That's something that they do say. You believe that?
What?
You believe they let Jesus go?
No. They let the idea of Jesus progress. Because they're like, if that's what you guys are into, if we'll be citizens.
One of the weirdest things I heard about Jesus is, so when he's on the cross, he says, I'm thirsty. And they
imagine your fucking nails in your hands. You're suffocating from being like this and falling down your own weight. And all you want is just like, I'm thirsty. Like, wow.
He was the son of God. You know, I don't think that I would have that kind of confidence.
No, I'd be like, ah! What was Duncan's last words? Ah!
But it wouldn't have occurred to me when I was being crucified that there was table service.
Right.
I wouldn't have been like, they're going to give me water.
Yeah, probably not.
We're killing you.
Yeah, you don't get water.
You're not at a restaurant. We're killing you. But they take a sponge and they put it in something and it gets translated as vinegar. So it's kind of like they were torturing more by giving him vinegar.
Oh my God.
But the actual translation, it means bitter. And a lot of people say that that's a word that they used for opium, like an opium tincture back then. Because Jesus died sooner than people usually die when they're being crucified. It usually takes months longer. So the conspiracy theory around the crucifixion is they drugged him.
To make him not feel it.
Made it seem like he died. He didn't really die.
They Romeo'd him.
Thus the rising from the dead thing. It was
because they're like, he was seen. He must have been rising from the dead.
Yeah.
And like, who saw him? I was like, well, I don't know if he saw him, but somebody saw him. I don't know. He's out.
But the
basically, he left.
So the, basically, the in this version of it, the story is the... Go ahead.
And then at that point, Jesus goes, hey, actually, I'm not looking for this fight. That was way harsher than I thought.
I'm out.
And people are like, they're saying you're... It's like, great, let him think that. I'm done. I don't care anymore.
Done being a guru.
I met a guy in Hong Kong, part of the revolution. I met him in Ecuador. And I was like, how's it going? He's like, I'm out. He's like, why? I had a gun pointed in my face. I had a gun pointed this far from my face with a guy who was allowed to use it on me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore.
He's done.
I'm done traveling.
You know, like, it's exhausting.
Jesus was just done.
Well, no. Well, as this conspiracy theory goes, Jesus, essentially, it's like the Romans, they're killing Jesus because Jesus was a revolutionary, basically, and he was someone who was pushing back against the theocracy that was happening then. So the Jews wanted to kill him because he was like fucking up the whole priest class system by saying you don't need anybody to talk to God.
We can do it ourselves.
Yeah. Big, when you've got a business going, convince people you can talk to God and they can't. There's so much money in that.
Can't we just nuke Assange? Can't we just drone Assange? I think were some famous words of a leader of ours.
Did they
say
that?
Can we just drone him?
Who said that?
Former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. While she was Secretary of State.
That doesn't sound like her.
Can't we just drone him?
That's fucked up, man. I didn't know she said that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the conspiracy theory goes
I didn't hear it.
The conspiracy theory goes like this. Jesus, not really dead, obviously. He ends up going to Europe, right? Like, Jesus ends up living the next part of his life. And there's now descendants of Jesus living to this day.
It's Jimmy Christ.
James Christ.
Yeah.
Lewis Christ.
Lewis G. Christ.
No, well, that's what this is. What, and you know, I don't want to make you, if he's listening, if Lewis Gomez, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But this is actually where the conspiracy ends. Lewis J. Gomez
is a direct
descendant of Jesus Christ.
Christ. I love how they say direct descendant. Like, you just mean descendant.
Well, direct descendant, that means that.
You have to mean brother and sister kept fucking all down the line. Brother and sister, brother and sister, brother and sister, brother and sister.
Yeah, man.
That's what Lewis Gomez. It would explain a lot of his, let's just say, the way his eyes are set. Let's just call it that.
But yeah, man, that's like the, you know, because to go to the Illuminati thing, this is actually a part of, like, a lot of people, when they are in their contemplation of secret societies, they always assign nefarious motives to their activity.
Yeah.
But also wrapped up.
Why would it have to be? Yeah. Well,
they troll. So there's trolling that happens from the secret societies, from the elites, that isn't designed to cause.
Is it for fun?
Just for fun. Just
Why wouldn't they have some fun with it?
If you
like Squid Games.
Think of this. You end up, you realize there is an Illuminati.
Yeah.
And you realize that you didn't even know it, but many of your friends had already been inducted in it for a while.
Wow.
Right? And you realize that, like, part the way you go into the you get into the Illuminati isn't like someone taps you out like at a frat or something and it's like, hey, we're gonna get you in here. They fucking haze your ass, but in a different way. They haze you by, like, doing all kinds of things to you. Maybe they, like, for fun, they make you famous, and then they, like, you know, they give you all kinds of weird shit that doesn't make any sense. Like, all the stuff that you've had in your life, you're like, how the fuck did this happen to me? I was working on the phones at the Comedy Store, and, like, now I'm free as a bird. I get to travel wherever I want and do whatever I want, and all this stuff. It's all a big troll. They're just like, okay, let's give him everything he wants.
Yeah.
Keep giving him everything he wants. And then at some point, it starts dawning on you, like, wait, this, holy shit, the more successful you get, the more, like, you get into rooms that you normally couldn't get into, until finally it's just all your friends dressed in fucking robes. They're like, Ari,
you're finally here. Like, the end of Lost, when they all have to get to the, like, heaven or the purgatory.
Just I didn't come to realize fucking it. Finish Lost, dude.
Shit.
I've been watching it.
Oh, fuck.
I'm just kidding. I haven't been watching it, but
You should, at the beginning of this clip, just put heavy spoilers.
Heavy spoilers. Yeah. So, yeah. So, let's just imagine.
Okay,
are in the Illuminati. You've been inducted. This is how we do it. We say it out loud in front of everybody because nobody's going to fucking believe that we're actually in the Illuminati. It's obviously me rambling. You're now in the Illuminati with absolute power. Power you can't even fucking imagine. Tell me about the trolling you would do.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I have control of the media.
Yeah. You have control of the media now. Like, you're literally, like, when you go to parties and you see, like, Rupert Murdoch.
So just, I wouldn't want to make everyone think there's a war coming. Like, let's just say I could make up that Ukraine Russia happened. So it makes everybody think, like, fuck, we're on the nuclear brink of nuclear extinction.
Yeah.
Nah, that's not quite fun for me. I would want them believing something small and ridiculous, but have it be just standard knowledge.
Like what?
The spoon was invented by the Italians at first. And have it just be like, oh, yeah, we all know that. Just have it so out there in the world that it's and then every time I'd hear it, it'd be like, or like, you know, champagne is actually only from the province of Champagne. And there's every time I hear that, you know how some dork says that?
Inevitably.
Southern California is like, actually, you know, champagne, I don't know if you know this. Like, yeah, we all know it. We've all heard that.
Why do you say it? Why are you saying it?
Why are you saying what we all know? Yeah, I mean sparkling. Yeah, okay. I mean sparkling.
Ugh. Why do you even think we care? Why do we want to know the history of fucking champagne?
You don't care. You just heard something.
We're having mimosas.
But imagine if you heard that and you just, everyone's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then you're just going.
Yeah, right.
It's not true. There is no place called champagne.
Oh, that's so funny.
You just quietly have it.
See, now this is what makes you an actual troll, because, and I don't remember. I was reading this wonderful essay that someone wrote on trolling, and they it's a really funny thing. They interviewed a troll, which is like, okay, you don't know what the fuck they told you. It's like, who the fuck knows? But the troll was like expressing like kind of dismay at the characterization of trolls as like
bad people or what? Sorry.
Doing obvious shit like,
yeah, that's weak trolls. That's like, that's, imagine if like a high level Chuck Palahniuk, high level writer, or Van Gogh was like, looks at your child's drawings or writings and goes, oh, they're writers or painters, and they're like,
right,
that's who you're gonna say we all are,
right?
We're on another level,
right?
You're analyzing us by our worst.
Yeah.
When people go like, oh, it's easy to do that. I'm like, no, it's not. I've tried many, many times to get a national debate going.
Right.
It's a very, very rare thing.
Yeah.
You can't just do that.
No.
No.
No. No, you're hacking. You're basically hacking the
break into this thing to fucking really unlock it. It takes a lot of work.
Well, it does when you are alone and you don't run the media. If you run the media, it's like it's like literally access to the motherboard. Like, it's like putting just new chips in. And the way you would do it, you know, because all like some, you know how you know a war is coming, or you know like some awful thing is coming, is all of a sudden out of the blue, the media will just out of the blue, they start talking about something, and you're like, oh shit,
something else is happening.
Or they'll be like, you know, all of a sudden you have not thought about Cuba at all for years.
Yeah, they set the table for you.
All of a sudden it's like, you know, so a leak shows that there is a humanitarian crisis in Cuba. They've started torturing Christians in
Cuba. And puppies.
And you're like, wait, what? Oh no, we're gonna go to war with fucking Cuba. You know, it's tenderizing the steak or whatever, right? And then the war comes. So the way it would look is just all of a sudden you'd be watching the news and they would be like, what was the thing with spoons you said?
The Italians invented them.
All of a sudden it'd be like, yeah, you know, new historical document reveals that.
Some op-eds.
Spoons.
Some fun piece in the style section.
The Italian spoon.
Yeah.
Celebrating Italy with the spoon.
Yeah, you'll see it sometimes. Trends will start. That spritz was big for a while out of nowhere. The Aperol spritz.
There you
go. It was always there, but then it got big. Or yeah, something. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's eating kale.
Well, I mean,
they didn't before.
This is what happens. This is like when one of the Wizard of Oz, when the curtain goes up, is when you get a publicist for the first time, and you realize, oh my god,
it's all trolling.
They're trolls in a different way, which is that they just are generating buzz
to promote someone.
To promote someone, like, you know what I mean? You like, if all of a sudden you notice that trending on,
yeah, you'll see it. I remember seeing as a kid when I saw on the back of like Parade magazine. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
The back of like the Sunday newspaper, and they had a little piece on. She's dead now. She was in 8 Mile, and she was in I'll Never Tell. Britney something. Remember that preview? I'll Never Tell.
Britney. I don't know.
She was a chick in 8 Mile.
Okay.
She was in Clueless also. She was a dork in Clueless. And then she turned hot. And it's like, weird they're running a piece on this. And then that movie, I'll Never Tell, whatever that was, that came out. And it was like, oh, they're setting the table. They're trying to make her into a star now. And it was like, they're not just randomly running a piece on someone.
That's it.
And anyone who they're doing a piece on, it's like they're about to have a thing.
There's a publicist behind it, always.
And from someone who's had a publicist, you too, you can't get publicity when you're not about to release something. There's no story, and it's also not cost effective.
That's it.
Except the highest level people.
That's it. But the highest level people, they'll just like, for whatever reason, they need a fucking a dopamine rush or something, so they'll just like get a publicist. But all of a sudden, when you see a proliferation of vapid stories about any given celebrity, just know somebody got paid a shit ton of money to make that happen.
Right. There's no more journalism. Like, I've been researching Julia Roberts.
Right.
What happened to her and how to come back? I just want to write a story about that. Like, they present it.
That's it. That's it. And that, when you really, like, when you start realizing that, when you're watching the news, you are watching, because
propaganda.
Propaganda. And it's like, it's no different when all of a sudden, like, I don't know, you realize, like, everywhere there's a news story about how electric cars are going to fuck the environment up.
Yeah, like, what? Interesting. Why? Interesting.
Where is that coming from? That's not coming from environmentalists. That's coming from the fucking oil industry.
Who doesn't
it's
want
like,
it?
We got fuck these electric cars. Let's make them seem like they're even worse for the environment than oil. And then, boom.
Yeah. They'll try to align you with images or stories that are negative. So it's like, oh, I don't know. I talked to my mom. It's like, what do you think about Snowden? She's like, well, he's a traitor. I'm like, interesting. I wasn't going to fight with her. I was like, man, but he said how Congress was like lying to all of us and getting us into wars and like lying to like the military was lying to Congress. And he exposed that. No, I think he's a traitor. I'm like, okay. I know you can't blame her. She read stories. She read like, you know, I'm a version of whatever I was raised with.
Right.
So any like that's backwards thinking for social stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's what I was taught.
Yeah.
Blame the fucking school system.
Right.
And so like once you align stuff with images, it's just, you can't, it isn't, you know, just can't like get out of your head.
Well, you can't, you know, you can't fucking do it. It's really hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube.
You can't put it back in.
Once you condition the masses.
It's just, it's what's like, well, why is that? Like, I know. Like, I can't prove that the earth is not flat.
It's not like a whiteboard. You know, once it comes out, whatever the fucking lie was that you put out there, because that always also happens.
In there.
All of a sudden, because, you know, in the beginning with the vaccines, all the conspiracy theorists were like, these, you know, and doctors were coming out and being like, you know, I don't know, these vaccines might cause some real serious problems. It might be that some of the shit is not staying localized in the injection site. All these things start coming out. And those people, they're getting fucking just
eviscerated.
And the reason they're being eviscerated is because the publicists for the pharmaceutical companies are like, we got to sell these fucking vaccines, bitch.
Bury that shit.
Quick.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, same thing with, we got to go to war. So like, get the fucking rid of Snowden.
Yeah.
The fuck's that guy doing a whole thing? When you're on a shaky.
That's my, me not knowing what I'm doing. That's the camera running out of juice, whatever. It's the wide shot. Who cares? I'm not going to use the video anyway.
Now we get close-ups. Dude, I'm in the same boat. My editor, Marissa, is always like, I'm like, make fun of me when you're doing the editing. Say, Ari's dumb fucking non-charging is evident in 3, 2, 1.
Gone. Gone.
Yeah. We have it up until then.
Finish what you were saying. And let me, and you keep track of time, bud, because you're
what,
the one with the plane
what again. Was I saying?
You're talking about Snowden.
Yeah. So it comes up as like, he's this bad guy. And they want to tell you he's a bad guy. And the publicists, they have something to gain, and you don't know why you think. I don't know. It's gone.
Well,
it's a story that they're trying to prep you for.
One of the fucking things that's happened now is.
Oh, I know.
Go ahead.
A lot of people have a shaky. This is a good example of it. Shaky platform, a base for their reality.
Yes.
They haven't thought it all out.
Right.
You'll get this with atheists. You'll get it with religious people. They're just raised with it. You'll get it with woke, not woke. The statue should stay. Oh, but it's doing this to the community, or the statue should go. Oh, but it's people's like path to the past. And they haven't really thought it out. They just kind of have a belief. And now if I'm solid on my ground, if I'm standing on the ground and I believe something, Duncan is my friend.
Yes.
And then somebody goes, well, you know, he'll turn you for this. I'm like, no, he won't. Well, you know, he says this, he didn't, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Or he had a reason for it.
Yeah.
No. Duncan's my friend. It's not shaky.
Right.
But if I'm on a shaky thing, like the despite the vaccines, the masks are the only way to stop this, that have to be, and it's like this, and somebody's like, well, what about this? And you're like, hey man, I'm gonna fucking fall.
Yeah,
get out of here.
That's
get
it.
The fuck out of here. I'm gonna fall.
Yeah.
And it's not comfortable.
Yeah.
But insecurity. Someone can come to me with the sun won't come up tomorrow, and I'm like, it will. I'm not gonna yell and scream. I just know you're wrong.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing is it's like the problem is people on shaky ground, and especially people who've been living on shaky, you know, you're on a boat long enough.
Yeah.
When you get on shore, it feels like you're on a boat. Yeah. So like if you're living in a kind of like semi-truth state for like your whole life, and then all of a sudden you make contact with the truth, it's going to feel like you're seasick. Like you're going to get hit with like this initial wave of like, what? Ugh, bleh, that can't be right. You don't mean that. Bleh. And then, and that's like, and so then you get back on the unstable ground, because the stable ground to you is normal. You've adapted to live in consensus reality, perfected the ability to ignore the fact that a lot of the time, shit that you initially believe turns out to not be true.
Yeah, when you learned about America, maybe we're in some fucking questionable conflicts, because you were raised with like, we're the best. Dave Smith says the best. Like, they literally taught us at a young age that our first leader was physically incapable of telling a lie.
Right.
And we were like, uh-huh. And now the older, when you hear that, like, oh yeah. He's a 6-year-old, and I cannot tell a lie.
Take George Washington, the classic. Like, yeah, George Washington.
Classic. G-dub.
George Washington is and will always be somebody who is a human trafficker. In fact,
syphilis.
One of the top human traffickers in Virginia, and syphilis. He was a human trafficker.
With fucking shitty teeth.
With shitty teeth that were slave teeth. That's not wooden teeth. They said wooden teeth, but he would like put slave teeth in to replace his teeth.
Oh.
So he's a human trafficker who wore the teeth of people that he'd imprisoned to do labor for him, who he was breeding, and who he would sell their children off like he was like selling like puppies. Like it was not just a it was like a puppy mill, but
we weren't taught that
for humans. Now this is the truth.
Right, but then when you met with that anyone older, like shut up.
Or
what were you gonna say?
There's all kinds of ways people react to that. Some people will say, "Don't get all fucking woke on me, bro. It's not woke. It's true.
Yeah,
there's like, nothing woke about it. He was a human trafficker." Now the reason,
face it, because at the time that wasn't that weird. That's why people want to let it go.
All right. So now that thing that you're saying there is one of the things you regurgitate, like Snowden's a traitor, to deal with the cognitive dissonance of the fact that one of the people who founded our country was a human trafficker who wore the teeth of his hostages and would murder and beat them if they tried to escape. What you do is you have to fix it. So you're like, look.
Bad for the time.
Look, Dahmer, he was just a kid. He was, you know, experimenting. Because
you don't want to say, like, what it will happen is, like, all of us will, in sometime in the next 1,000 years or less, be horrible humans. If they looked at all of our stuff.
Did you hear that Ari Shaffir had a dog?
Yeah.
What?
What do you mean he had one?
This is when dogs evolve. Yeah, not to make a comparison there. What I'm saying is I don't agree with you. I think that... the problem is that
I think a lot of these slave owners are like, I'm actually one of the nicest ones.
Well, yeah.
That really helped.
Well, that's another thing people will say. So they'll say, the first thing is this. They use the word slave, which is better than saying human trafficking.
Right?
So when they talk about slavery, they use slave instead of hostage, because even though slave ain't great,
It's lost its meaning.
It's lost its meaning. If you say hostage human trafficker, it makes you immediately realize, like, okay. The other thing is like this thing about how, you know, people, that's what the economy was like back then. Like he's like, you know, I really don't want to fucking buy all these humans. And I know that I can listen to the parents screaming when I sell their children, and it really is eating me up inside. But I you know what I mean? But I kind of have to do it right now, because, you know, I'm just a product of my times. It's like, okay, then how come slavery wasn't happening all over the fucking planet? It was happening in some places, but what about that? What if it's not basically the idea is like, first of all, George Washington was not that long ago. Chappelle did this wonderful joke about that. He wasn't.
It's that they didn't know any better, I think. Like, I don't know. Things were just don't. Some things you can't face it. But they, like, with that idea, you're going to have to write off everybody from the past. And at some level, I go, yeah, that's okay. You don't have to revere anybody from the past.
You don't.
You can just revere their teaching or their artwork. You don't have to actually like them as humans. And that's when you're getting lost.
That's to me, it's like
it's just like Kanye. You could just love his music and just don't have to listen to who he is.
Well, right. Like, this
up
is
to you.
Let's say that, like, Alex Honnold, that free climber, right? let's say it comes out that Alex Honnold had a farm somewhere in like deep, a ranch in Texas. He had 20 hostages that were growing cotton for him there. And so would this change the fact that Alex Honnold is an incredible climber?
No.
Absolutely not.
This is the problem they have with Nazi research.
What do you mean?
They did all this research on Jews, the Holocaust. Medical research.
Which is like, what do we do with that data?
What do we do with the data?
Do we do with that?
Yeah, and it's split on that. But that's a harder one, because that is like, this is something we can get, but it came from this terrible thing. Alex Honnold, in this story, didn't have his slaves build the ropes for him, that he'd be unable to do it without the slave. It's a separate thing.
Right.
You know, you're not building, R. Kelly didn't use the sound of fucking the pissing on girls to make his music. It's just like a separate thing.
We don't know that.
Yeah, Michael Jackson's like,
is incredible.
Might have been like him mimicking these kids.
God, that'd be incredible if you could turn the sound of piss into like beautiful singing. It would be a nicer world. It would be a much nicer world.
It's like, don't face that. Just get the things out of it. Just get the joy that you want out of something and leave the rest. Like, it's not a fucking world about.
Or like, get a little more sophisticated in your thinking to understand that these things can exist simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And as far as George fucking Washington goes, just tell the truth.
Yeah. I saw a lady on Twitter shortly after, there was this basketball player who died. And she goes, listen, it's possible that he was a really good guy and a great basketball player, and also looked like was probably a committed rape once. And all these things can be true at once. And she received probably 7,000 death threats.
Yeah.
This chick from Westworld.
See, now to me, what I've been thinking about lately in this regard is, Carl Jung, famous psychologist, he had this idea that, you know, he's the one who came up with the concept of the shadow, which is all the shit about you or that you don't want to acknowledge.
Right.
So all the stuff you've done.
Easily bury it. Don't think about it.
You think you can bury it, but you can't. It's going to leak. It comes out no matter what. It's just going to. It's like when you run into a person. And
from your past,
they casually will just over dinner, something will pop out of their mouth that you realize like, oh my fucking God, you just told me like your deepest secret and you don't even know that you said it. Like it's called leaking. It's like the shadow leaks out. You can't repress it truly. It leaks. Right. One of the main ways it leaks is in your projection. So you might be one of those, if you run into someone who thinks that everyone's a thief, probably this is a thief you're talking to. It's a person who steals. They can't deal with their own lying or their dishonesties. They see it in other people. So Jung took it one step further, which is there's not just your own unconscious that's got all the shadow shit in there. There's the collective unconscious, which is everyone's shadow.
Right.
The way it leaks is the leaders. So the leaders of any given country are a reflection of the shadow of the individuals coming out. And so
we're all capable of this. The leader shows his capability of doing something terrible or whatever, or whatever leaks out, and then everyone's like, push that back in. Politicians
lie.
Why are you okay with it?
Well, the reason that we have lying politicians is because we're all lying to ourselves,
right?
And because we've like, so you're seeing like that unstable thing manifesting in the form of our leadership, which of course would be deceptive since we're all trying to exist in a half-truth shadow world anyway. You know, right. People don't want to believe that George Washington was a human trafficker.
Held people against their will.
You know, people
beat the shit out of them, punch them in the face at minimum.
Yeah, right. But if
took leather and just fucking raked it across their back,
deal with it. It's like the moment you like whatever the thing is you've done that you feel incredibly remorseful about.
It's just,
the moment you're like, I did that, but I did that and it was bad. Instead of, here's why I did it, I'm a victim or I shouldn't.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. That's not cool.
The moment you're just like, no, I did that because there's a part of me that's just like fucking.
Yeah, I do like saying something when I say something publicly of like, you shouldn't attack other comedians publicly. Something you should go straight to them if you have a problem with
them.
Or just like, it's hard enough. It's our team. I think it's our team.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's wrong to do it. And I do enjoy saying, and I know it's wrong because I have done it.
Right.
So I'm not on a higher ground here. I've just seen the light a little bit, and you shouldn't do that. But I get it. I've done it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is why I say over and over again, you shouldn't dig up graves and suck off corpses.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, right, right. Because of the cavities you get.
Yeah. But I can say it because I get it. I know the joy. You've done it the moment you get the you finally
open it up and it's not completely dissolved.
Fucking dirt is on top of a coffin. You know, sometimes they go lower than 6 feet.
Yeah.
And that's the worst feeling when you're like, as you get used to 6 feet, and then all of a sudden you're like, motherfucker, they like did an extra 8 foot
county.
Dude, it's the worst.
Because that last 2 feet, you think it's only 2 feet. It's like, no, it's 33% more when you're already worn out.
The sun's about to come up.
You gotta get sucking. You gotta get sucking fast. There's no like, there's no milk in it. There's no like, let me take a rest.
You're like, you've been doing the blow, and you're almost out of the blow, but you're gonna leave just enough. Ari, you gotta catch a plane. Tell everyone about your special. Where can they see it?
Dude, I was telling people about this Roger Waters. It's on YouTube right now, guys. It's free. Literally, it is the best thing I've ever done. And I thought about selling it, and then I decided I'd rather give it to you guys.
What is YouTube?
YouTube is a platform on the winternet. It's something that was invented in the winter, I think. I haven't read the whole story. I think I glanced at a fucking headline.
Yeah. It's like videos?
Yeah, it was invented by Jim Gore. Someone who got gored, I think. Dole fruit plants, one of those. And it's like videos of such. Yeah, like that. Yeah, videos and I think you can like buy stuff there too. I don't know. But it's there. It's called Ari Shaffir Jew. And it is, so I went to Edinburgh Fringe Festival. The most exciting artistic place there is for comedy. It's 1,400 comedians all doing a show every single night.
Wow.
Yeah, in addition to trapeze and books and music and all sorts of stuff. And I was exposed to this like style of comedy, this British festival style of comedy, in which they picked up a theme. But I had a major problem with it, because I think, rightfully so, that American comedy, stand-up, is the best by far. I had a film teacher in college, and he goes, hey, there is, where he's teaching American film. And he goes, there is other film out there. French film is good. There's other good film. He goes, it's not a debate. American film is the best. So there is good stuff out there. And you can find, and we'll teach you some stuff here or there. But it's got the most money behind it.
Right.
We're the best. It's not a question.
I'm sure no one's going to disagree with what you just said.
They shouldn't. And definitely won't help this algorithm to get seen more if it does. But American stand-up is the best. And the people that are doing it in other countries either understand that and are trying to catch up, and they have the best chance, or, like in the UK, for a lot of people go, no, well, you don't do this, and they hold it over them that they don't do these theme hours. And what I've seen in these theme hours, right about 35 to 40 minutes in, they get uber serious for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I worship the God of laughs. And so, what?
Satan.
Yeah, Mitzi.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't allow that. There's no time for that. And I've seen great comics, like Miss Pat will talk about her rape from an uncle, and she won't wallow in it. She gets through it, you're laughing the whole time, and then afterwards you're like, wait, was she just talking about her rape?
Richard Pryor with his incineration and then like fucking
sanding. We can get there. I can talk about dark stuff. All these greats. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Yes, Miss Pat is on the level of Richard Pryor.
Right.
In this moment. And so it's a cop-out to go, let's just get sick. But, well, guys, we're all together. That's when I learned something.
Yeah.
South Park would make fun of that.
They'd dude, go right I've at done it. It when I don't have jokes. It's so much easier to get serious than
that. Hey, but guys, for real, though, for real.
It's the best. You don't have jokes. You didn't write. You haven't been working on writing.
So you just say something serious.
10-minute serious, Chuck.
Yeah.
It's no fucking easier and than it's writing like, jokes.
Why aren't you punching this up? So I went 3 years every other year. First year, I took my storytelling show there. I started seeing all these hours. I'm like, interesting. And then I had a two Edinburgh plan to go show them what an American hour was like, which is just, and I had a deep back in my head, this was my last hour, a little bit of a theme, what your life would be like with kids or without kids, but it's very understated. And then go show them what an Edinburgh style hour is with an American sensibility.
Okay, cool.
Laughs all the way through.
Right.
And every time I thought I was done, I was like, no, they'll get me on this. But yeah, I'm talking about what Judaism is, but I didn't talk about what my Judaism is.
I didn't
have any personal stories in there. So it can't just be explaining what Hanukkah is. It's what I went through as a kid during Hanukkah somebody got a better gift than me. So I could tell you my experience, the customs, the laws, all of that while still maintaining any bit that can follow Bobby Lee or Mark Norman with at a fucking nightclub.
It's like you're teaching, but it's funny.
It's a spite special. It's teaching. You will come out learning something, but if you don't want to learn anything, that's fine. You're just going to laugh. Wow. Don't think of this as a one-man show. Think of this as just a comedy hour.
That's cool, man. That's super fucking cool.
Intentional thinking about it, building it for 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the dream, man. I like to be able to pull that off is so cool. It must have taken a lot of work.
It took a lot of work. And luckily, I got some benefits. Like I don't know if you ever think about this. Like, if you would book a sitcom, what a fucking loser you'd be now. What a non-creative loser. You'd get sucked into this world. I think about it. That if I had gotten this thing that I wanted, I wouldn't be a free performer.
Right.
And if I had put out this special 2.5 years ago, I had to put it away for a few months, and then I had to put it away for COVID for a while. And I came back to it with this fresh ideas and fresh mind. I could look at it from an outside perspective, and all these setups were too long. And I'm like, chop, chop, chop. And I got to see it from an outsider, and it was such a fucking blessing.
Cool.
This thing is so much fucking stronger now.
Cool.
And I want to start doing that with all my specials. Instead of recording it and going on vacation, going on a break, I want to put it away, go on break, come back, then dust it off, see what's wrong, what's not good, see what's evergreen, what's not, then record it and put it up.
That's fucking cool, Ari.
I'm so happy with it, and I just want everybody to see it. I spent literally, I figured out, 43% of my life savings on it.
Wow.
And I don't want to sell it. I just want people to see it.
Everybody, go and watch Ari's amazing new special. What's it called?
Jew. Very simple.
It's on Dole's YouTube, on the internet.
On the internet.
All the links you need to find it are going to be at DougAtrussell.com. Ari, it's great to see you, man. Wish you could stay longer.
I want to say this before I left. Seeing you at the fucking Roger Waters and like knowing you're there somewhere, I'm like, hey, I can't. I'm tripping out. I got to enjoy this. And you got it. I know you're like, hey, I'm tripping.
Of course.
Especially when he's like, turn your fucking phones off. You're like, hey, dude, sorry, I'm listening to you. And then we're leaving and somebody's like, Duncan's around. I was like, where's Duncan? It's a stadium. And he goes, he's up there, 10 rows up. I'm like, Duncan! And you got that, I don't want to be recognized right now. I'm tripping out myself. And then I didn't know how to, I was like, Duncan, it's Ari Shaffir. And I hadn't seen you in so long. And after one of the most amazing creative experiences I've ever been to on acid, seeing my friend, I can't stop thinking about what a moment that was.
My heart, when I heard, it's Ari Shaffir. My heart just was like, it's the best, dude. Yeah. It was so cool. I wish you were out here more often.
Yeah. Yeah. I love you, buddy.
Love you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ari. That was Ari Shaffir, everybody. Make sure you check out his special, Jew. It's on YouTube. A tremendous thank you to our sponsors, and most importantly, thank you for listening. Come see me. Shows are at DougAtrussell.com. Just scroll down. I'll see you next week. Until then, Hare Krishna.